morning. Be seated, please. Our invitation is 337.
Good morning. Glad you made it. It's hard to beat a good July rain, isn't it? I love it. But it was a little stormy. Lights went out, but they're back. If they go out, we'll just keep going. Fair enough. But I believe maybe the worst is fast. I thought, Jay, you might lead till the storm passes by. Glad you're here. We've got visitors with us. We're glad you're here. I think the storm and vacations, we've got just gobs of folks gone. Kind of just a huge amount of people gone. I hope they're having good trips. I know some folks just didn't get out. Want to let you know something, all of you. When it rains like this morning, if you'll pull under that pavilion, we'll try to have some younger guys like myself that will help park your car. So don't hesitate just to pull under there. And we've got some umbrellas. I don't know who furnished us. There's several umbrellas there that are kind of the same. I don't know who did that, but thank you for doing that. So we'll either give you an umbrella or we'll let you get out and we'll park your car and bring you your keys and we'll bring that car back under if it's raining after services. But just so you know, that'll be kind of hopefully a regular thing. So guys, let's always be there to help park when we need to. That makes that a wonderful thing there. You can get out. So if you can get in your car, you don't hesitate to come on. We'll get wet for you. How's that? Not in the baptistry. We can't do that. I don't get confused here, but park in your car. Well, this is an aside. This is not this morning's lesson at all, but some of the little ones were kind of excited about the storms this morning. And it's interesting how people are different. Miss Ruth says she has a dog that doesn't like the storms, and she had trouble getting the dog calmed down this morning, and that can happen. And, you know, some people are really afraid of storms. I guess I'm not really smart, and nobody needs to comment on that this morning. Steve is in the foyer, and Red is not here, so I felt a little more comfortable saying that. But I'm just not afraid of storms. I just like a summer thunderstorm. Now, you know, I don't like it, tornadoes and all that, but I just like a summer thunderstorm. I've been known to just open the front door and lay there in the floor and watch it rain. I just enjoy a summer rain. But different was my grandmother. When you were at her house and it lightning at all, she'd make you get in a chair and pull your feet up like that's going to make a difference. You know, you sit in a chair with your feet pulled up. And but that didn't make me afraid. It's just different folks deal with it different ways. I'm not making fun of anybody. But I think it's a good time for us to be reminded that there was a worldwide flood, that event is reality. And I think that's important for us to talk about, especially for our young people who were afraid of the flood this morning. And, you know, that's one of the great things about going to the Holy Land. And I'm thankful to have had that privilege to do now on multiple occasions, is you get to see the places that we read about. And you realize this is not just a storybook. This is not fairyland or Neverland, that these places exist. And these ruins are there. These cities are there. These buildings are there. These ruins are there. That these are actual events. And so the flood is an actual event in the days of Noah. Not just a story, but an actual event. But what did God say after the flood? Put a rainbow in the sky, right? That's another song we could have sang this morning. God put a rainbow in the sky. But you don't tell me what to preach on, I won't tell you what songs to lead. How's that? Get along. But God put a rainbow in the sky and said, "This will be a sign from me to you that I will never again destroy the earth by flood." That's never going to happen. Now, is there local flooding? Well, yes, absolutely. There's local flooding. And we've seen that. But that the whole world will be destroyed by a flood is not going to happen again. Not going to happen again. And it's interesting when you read that the account of the creation, all about how the fountains of the deep opened up. And you remember when we read the account how the water was separated and all those things. And then you begin to see what geologists and others have discovered that really point to the truths of what the Bible knew thousands of years ago. But we're not going to have another worldwide flood. That's not coming. But is the world that we live in going to last forever? Nope. But it's going to be destroyed by fire next time, right? Peter will make reference to that. But it will be fire that destroys the world next time. Not a flood, but a fire that will destroy all the things that we see. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And what will happen? Well, Jesus says we don't know the day or the time, right? We don't know. But that was true in the time of Noah. But remember, what was Noah doing the whole time he's building the ark? Preaching, warning people, telling them to get ready. But as people, what do we think? One, things are going to continue as they always have. And, you know, history is a good indicator, but things do change, right? And the scripture tells us that things will change. But people thought, well, as long as we've ever known, the sun rises in the morning, the sun sets in the evening, right? You have spring, summer, winter, and fall, or spring, summer, fall, and winter, if we want to do that in the right chronological order. And so that's just going to always continue. And then one day, what happened? It rained and rained and rained and rained. And things changed, but it was too late because they just were going about their business when things suddenly changed. And so that's what the scripture tells us, that what'll be happening when the end of time comes. People will be eating and drinking, right? Marrying and giving in marriage, going to work, playing soccer or football, going to school, all the things we do, not wanting to go to school, whatever those things are. That's what'll be going on. Things will be going on like they have gone on, and everybody gets hurt because, you know, how often, especially when something happens to us in an untimely way, you know, something happens when we're young, maybe our health's really affected when we're much younger than you would anticipate that. And everybody says, well, I always knew it could happen, but I just never thought it could happen to me, right? Isn't that the way we are? We gamble with those things, and sometimes I know the right thing to do, but I say, I'll get around to that later because I don't need that now, whatever that might be. Well, it can be, but it's not going to be a flood, but there'll be fire the next time, and the world will be destroyed. So what's the lesson in that for us, which is really even not this morning's lesson. This one's completely free, but it just seemed timely. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about things he could see, right? We'll just talk about things that we can see. We don't have to worry about that rain. Hopefully that rain is going to help the grass grow and the corn grow and the beans grow and the squash and the cucumbers and the pumpkins and the watermelons and whatever else you might have planted. Okra. I'm in for all of it. It's all good. We don't have to worry about that flooding. But one day, the fire is going to come. And let me tell you something. We can't do enough cutting and trimming. We can't have enough firefighters. It's going to be a worldwide fire. But we can be protected from it, right? How? Children of God are going to be where? They're going to be with the Lord, right? They're going to be with the Lord. Just like Noah was saved by the ark, right? The Lord's going to save us from the fire that destroys the earth. Because all this around us, while it seems so important, is short-lived and not important. The important thing is being children of God and knowing that the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us, and He's going to come back and take care of us so that when this world is destroyed, we're not destroyed with it, but we're with Him. And we don't face eternal punishment, but we'll be with the Lord. So we had a flood this morning, we had a storm, but we can be comforted in knowing that is not going to be globally destructive. But one day, destruction is coming. And so, what does the Lord tell us to do? I know you're thinking, if you go ahead and offer the invitation, this will be the greatest Sunday. What has the Lord told us to do? To be prepared and to be watchful. right? To be prepared and be watchful. Because blessed is the one who minds the vineyard, who is waiting, is watchful, and is about their business when the master returns, right? Blessed are the five wise virgins who had enough oil that when the bridegroom came, they were ready, right? They'd been ready at one time, but it didn't come when they expected it. So when the bridegroom came, they weren't ready. Jesus said, be watchful, be ready, be ever vigilant, because you don't know when the Lord's going to return. Now, is the Lord sneaking around trying to catch us off guard? That's a good question, isn't it? Because sometimes that's... No! The Lord wants all men everywhere to repent. Isn't that what Peter tells us? That the Lord wants all men everywhere to repent. But the day's coming when the Lord's going to return, and you and I have opportunity to know the Scripture. You and I have the opportunity to be prepared. And so the Lord says, be prepared. Now, how expensive is it to be prepared? That's a relevant question. It's so expensive you can't pay it. It's so expensive you can't pay it. You cannot pay the cost of being prepared for the judgment. It's a price you can't pay. But Jesus paid that price for us. The perfect, infallible, sinless Son of God paid the price that you and I could never pay. And He paid it for us. And what does He call on us to do? To have faith in Him. And that if we love Him and believe in Him, what will we do? We'll keep His commandments and we'll be prepared. We'll be watching. Jesus goes off in the garden to pray before His arrest. And He takes those disciples who are closest to Him with Him as He goes and prays in anguish. I mean, under as severe stress as a human being could go through. Sweating drops of blood. Under that much physical and emotional stress. And remember, He goes back to them, and what have they done? They've gone to sleep. They've gone to sleep. Now, I have trouble being extremely angry with them, because if I sit down, I go to sleep. But I think Jesus' plea to them was, I am fixing to undergo spiritual, emotional, and physical stress beyond what I would really ever ask you to bear. Because I'm going to pay a price for you that you can't pay, and I'm glad to do it. I'm freely doing this. But couldn't you have at least watched and prayed with me? I'm not asking you to bear the burden. I'm just asking you to stay with me. And so Jesus paid that price, but I think it's the same question He would ask of us. And it's a fair question, isn't it? I've paid the price. I've done the heavy lifting. I've suffered in a way that I don't ask you to suffer, but I do ask you to watch with me and pray with me and sit with me and be about my business, because I have paid a price for you. And that's fair for the Lord to ask us. But it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? It's easy to get distracted. But it's important always to remember, be about the important, not the urgent. Because the urgent so often pulls us away from the important. And the important is that Jesus died for us and He calls us to follow. And that not only has He paid this price on the cross, He's going to prepare a place for us, and He's going to come back. And He's going to take us to be with Him. And so when the world is destroyed, you and I won't be here. And you know what? If we've done what Jesus told us and we put our treasure in heaven, not on earth, guess what? Our treasure's waiting for us. If our treasure's here, what's going to happen to it? It's all going to be gone. It's all going to be gone. I tell you what, I appreciate the folks who suffer a disaster and the reporter will ask them about losing everything and they say, well, we all survived, so everything's good. You know, that's they don't moan and groan that their house is gone and their car's crushed and all those things. They're just happy that their family is there because they know what's important, right? So the important thing is if we lay up our treasures in heaven, that what we lose here, we'll say, you know, that wasn't important. The important thing is that we're going to be with God. And so it begs the question, what are we spending our time doing? Because as we look around, don't we want all those that we love, our family, our friends, to be with us, to have the opportunity? And so we need to be about the Lord's business, teaching others. We can't force folks, can we? We can't do it for you. I can get wet in the rain for you, but I can't be baptized for you. I can't make the commitment for you. We can assist you, but we can't do it for you. But the Lord says, be ready when I come. Be waiting, be watchful, be prepared. I've done the heavy lifting. I've done the big job. I just call for you to be prepared and to be about my business. So that when I come, you'll have oil in your lamps and you'll be welcomed into the great feast. And can you imagine a greater feast than the one that the Lord puts on? There can't be one greater, can there? Can't be one greater than the one the Lord puts on. It was number 7 in the blue books, the blue hymnals like we had growing up. It was number 7. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation. Whosoever will. Because Jesus paid the price. And he calls us to come. And to be prepared to come, right? You remember the parable? Why did you come to the wedding not prepared? Not dressed appropriately? Now, I'm not talking about what you wore to church today. But I'm talking about, are our lives appropriate? God has paid the price, so are we living lives about being about the Lord's business? I told you, don't worry about the storm. What? Looking up, what are you going to see through the ceiling? That's just an amen. That's all that is right there. But to be prepared. It's a good thing to think about it. Sometimes it's a little scary. But we all need to be reminded to be prepared because the Lord's returning. And the only thing that matters is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing else is going to make a bit of difference. Only that. Only that. Do I recognize him and does he know me? I'm going to offer the invitation. All of us, I'm going to encourage us all, we need to be prepared for the Lord's return. Jesus paid the price. And so we need to be focused every day on, you know, if today is the Lord comes, I'm going to be ready. And it makes a difference of what I'm going to do today. Right? If I know the Lord might come tonight at 6 o'clock, I'm probably going to live today a little differently. My conversation will be different. The way I treat people is going to be different. Maybe what I say to others. The encouragement I give them will be different. Because every day, we don't know that the Lord might not come. And it's about being ready. So that when the Lord comes, it's not like the storm that we're afraid of. But when the Lord comes, there's this great relief that comes over us. That it's time to go home. That we're prepared. That our lamps are trimmed and ready, and we're ready to enter in. If you need to come, why don't you do that while we stand and sing?